Amen. Well, this morning we talked about where was we at this morning. We was in the throne room, and there is, who's in the throne room? Well, God's there, Jesus is there, who else is there? All the Christians are there. Amen. All right, just trying to get you in tune. So this morning we was in the throne room, and it was the picture was of us Christians and how we seen the tremendous power and how only Jesus was the one that could break these seals that we're going to be talking about tonight. So consequently, up to this point, we of course, again, just a little review. We've talked about Jesus appearing unto John on the Isle of Patmos, John now told to write down these things. John was told to write and to warn the churches, which he did. We went through that study. And then after that study, we seen last week as Pastor Mike was talking about the rapture and how what's going to happen to us as we are called up to heaven. Jesus never touches foot down on the ground, but he calls out our name. We meet him in the air and we go to be with him. The promises that come because we are Christians. Life eternal, new body, and I'm sure Pastor Mike went through all that. This morning we graduated, we was there. We now are there, we've been raptured, we're there, and we're around the throne. And God had the scroll. And the question was asked, who can break these seals? And the question was answered, only Jesus Christ. So, what we see now, tonight, as we graduate into chapter 6, the scene moves from the throne room, and it moves to earth. And it moves to earth because we're going to see now Jesus breaking these seals one at a time. And I hope you all remember this morning we talked about the scroll and how those seals are broken. And only Jesus can do that one at a time. As he breaks those seals, remember that scroll contained God the Father's intention of how we've either got to come into compliance and accept Christ as Lord and Savior and that redeeming death that he died and his tremendous power raising Jesus from the dead to create a situation where we could be saved. And so now God has given Jesus this scroll that contains, okay, those that have blasphemed me, those that have not received me, those that wanted nothing to do with me, judgment has got to come, and they're going to first come through the seal judgments. And that's what we're looking at tonight. As Jesus breaks one seal at a time, it reveals one happening that's going to occur here on this earth. And then the second one, revealing things that will happen on this earth. The things that are happening I'm talking about are judgments upon who's left? Just the unsaved. Just the unsaved. Remember, you and I, if we are truly blood-bought Christians and have had change in our lives and claimed Him as Lord and Savior, we're there with Him in the throne room. And remember, this is like the command center up there. Jesus is in command of all things that's going to occur on the earth. And so consequently, you and I are there with Him if we are truly His. And judgment now begins on the earth for the unsaved. Y'all with me? I hate to be redundant, but you know, I learned a long time ago, you don't necessarily lock it in after one time. Okay? So bear with me if I'm redundant and some of you can say, well, I knew that. Well, I remember my days too. It was tough to grab all this and keep it solidified in the chronological order that it will occur. So as we look in chapter 6 of Revelation, we read, and I want to read the whole chapter, and then we're going to go back and try to make some sense out of it for you and how we might be able to to come to some understanding. Chapter 6, I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version, which is the same version that's on the in the chair in front of you. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud, with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And John says, "And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow and a crown. And a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." It might be best that, rather than to read the whole thing, that we take these one at a time. And as this seal is broken, you know, there's something that I know about with horses, and I've watched a lot of Western movies, so I know that whenever there's horses coming in a stampede, there's a lot of noise made. And it sounds like thunder, and you can't mistaken, there's something happening. And so here we have this, and I like the way he uses the analogy of a horse, and he uses a white horse, and it's exactly what Satan does. There's something you need to pick up on here, is that it's a white horse, which might lead you to think, well, a white horse is a victorious horse, and consequently it ought to be Jesus Christ. That's exactly what Satan wants you to think in this writing. He wants to deceive you. And that's exactly. Let's look at what he has there if we can. Because it says that he has a bow. He don't have any arrows. So what's John saying? Well, he looks like he might be something. He has a bow that looks like he might be something, but he has no arrows. So he can't be as dangerous as what he appears, but he appears as if he could be Jesus. Understand, that's exactly what Satan will do. Let's also understand one other thing at this point in time, is the Christians, I've said this, but the Christians are not here. They're not here on this earth where this is occurring. And I want you to think about something as we begin to talk about these things. Can you imagine all of the chaos that will occur on this earth when the Christians are taken out? Can you imagine the truck drivers, the people driving cars, the people flying airplanes, the people in hospitals, the people in offices, the people that are Christians that are out of here, and the chaos that was left here on this earth? If you can get a picture of that in your mind, airplanes crashing, wrecks all over the place, semis, people that were controlling gas wells blowing up. If you can imagine all of the chaos that's occurred, that will occur. And then this chaotic condition is so impacting what's going on in this world. But here comes Satan trying to deceive on the white horse. And he's a man that comes like he's portraying himself to be like the peaceful guy that's going to bring peace, because there's a lot of chaos. A lot of chaos is going on. But here comes Satan making his debut. I want to speak something else. I want you to think about something else. How many churches do you believe today, or maybe even Baptist churches, that are filled with people that might think they are going to heaven but didn't? In this case. And that's something that we might call the apostate church. Thinking or portraying themselves to be something when they're not. They're not true Christians. So that group of people, still in churches here on this earth, the Christians left, but they was left here. If you think about it, they still have some religious views. But they failed one thing, and that was to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They're still good people. They may have done a lot of good things, but they're left here. Now, if you were the Antichrist, Satan, coming to build a peaceful circumstance in a world that's full of chaos, you think about who you would play to. Probably to the apostate church. Think about it. Those people still got a little bit of faith, but their faith wasn't in the right place. They may have done a lot of good things, but Satan has a built-in church that he can start to build a nucleus. Let's keep in mind, Satan's desire was always to be powerful and above God. That's why he got kicked out of heaven in the first place. It's still his desire, and now that we're out of here, the Holy Spirit, yep, is still here, but not within us. The restraining power, think about the restraining power that you and I have just in our workplace or where we are, because I've heard it said many times, well, you know, whenever someone stops someone else from cursing, they come to recognize that you have something that's special. That's gone, but the apostate church is still here that will have some ability to have a oozy or a peaceful way to come to the rest of the world. Whether it be through the Muslims, which might possibly be, because we've got a tremendous chaotic situation already in the world, if you think about it. And it's coming, they hate the Christians, but now the Christians left in this particular case. So let's think about that now we have a deceiver that's come on the scene. He portrays himself to be like Jesus, but we can see that he has a bow but no arrow. He has no really ultimate condition that's going to have too much threat. It says he has a crown as well. It was given to him, and he went out to conquer and to conquer. What's he going to conquer and to conquer? He wants control. He wants power. That's always been his desire. I've said that twice. I understand that. He wants power. And so to conquer, he tries to, first of all, get it through peaceful means. And probably, if you think about it, there's a lot of people that believe the same way that I do, is that this guy is not stupid. He's smarter than you and I. This Satan that we have to deal with every day, he's quite a bit smarter than you and I. He has and he knows how to deceive people. He does it all the time. And he also has now, he's seeking that power. And he begins to try to accomplish that. It says he went out to, what's the words? He said went out conquering and to conquer. Those are strong words there, but really to gain power, to gain control, to be looked up to have everyone looking to him as he's the peaceful officer that has arrived on the earth after this chaotic situation has occurred. Think about it. If we move on to the second seal, it turns around very quickly. And if I can try to paint in your mind that these could be summary type judgments that we're going to be relating here a little bit further in other judgments. In verse 3 he says, when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come and see. And another horse, fiery red, went out. And it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth. That's how I can get, because he's the second one, is coming on. He says now to take the peace, remember the chaotic situation that had to occur whenever the Christian was taken out. On comes the Antichrist trying to develop peace and to calm down the chaotic situations that occurred. Now he says, and he's turning the other way, and this is what Satan always does. He says, another horse, fiery red, went out and was granted to the one who sat upon it to take peace from the earth, that the people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. I want to go on now, because I've tried to set the situation, and I'll come back and address these other things. I want to go to the third seal. It says, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he that sat upon it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius. Do not harm the oil and the wine. We're going to talk about this here in a minute. Bear with me. The fourth seal is opened. He said there's widespread death here on the earth. It says, when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth creature saying, come and see. And he says, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him that sat upon it was Death. And Hades followed with him. And the power was given to them over the a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, 25% of 7 billion people. You figure it out. To kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. When we look at the fifth seal, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Wow. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell upon the earth? And then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was sad to them that they should rest a little while longer until both of the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. I need to explain that just a little bit before I go any further. Understand something, that we as pastors and teachers and so forth, we are always trying to lead anyone that we can, and I hope you too, to lead anyone that we can to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior here, and to do so under peaceful conditions. But I want you to remember something, and we'll get into this a little bit further down the road, is that God will seal 144,000 Jewish evangelists, which are 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, to be Jewish evangelists during this earthly occurrence. They're here, they're sealed, they're going to continually be bringing the word of God to those that are left here. And the Holy Spirit will continue to convict people. Even though it's most difficult for anyone to be saved during this tribulation period, there will be many. And we'll read about that here in a moment, in a week or so in chapter 7. There will be many saved, but they will give their life, and it'll be a horrendous, terrible death that they'll have to go through. And he's talking about that here. So it's, you know, some people have said, well, you know, you either get saved in this life or you can't be saved. Well, you might be saved, but it'll cost you your life more likely. And that's something that we need to share. He says, I'm in verse 10, in the middle of it. You judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell upon the earth. And then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were, was completed. So there will be many that will be perhaps saved, but they'll lose their life to do so. I want to go on, and then we'll come back, and I'll start through them again. I looked in verse 12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it's rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. If you can just imagine the great power that's being released here. And remember that we're talking about the God who made this whole universe. Some people want to question this. Well, how can God speak this into existence? God made it all by speaking it into existence. He will eventually speak annihilation into existence for all of those that have not received Jesus as Lord and Savior. Can you imagine here in verse 13 it says, where the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. And the sky receded as a scroll when it's rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. I read that again. I can't imagine that in my mind. I cannot get my arms around that much power. Although he said many times in Acts chapter 1 and Matthew 28, we've heard it many, many times, all power is given unto Jesus and to us if we'll just accept it and move out. But power, like I have never, I guess many, many times I've read the scripture I never really grabbed a hold of it like I've grabbed it this time. I can't imagine the power to move mountains. Oh, truly, we have a lot of construction workers that went into West Virginia and they drilled through rock and they moved rock and they made roads. That took them years. That little piece of highway that you run, if you ever go south on 77 and go down the West Virginia Turnpike and you pay $2 every few hundred miles, that took years to complete with a lot of men. We're talking here, God speaking or Jesus speaking this into existence, shaking the whole earth that the stars from the heavens will fall and islands will be moved out of place and mountains be moved out of place. If you think about the tremendous amount of, I can't understand if there's anyone here on this earth that's going through this, how they can reject the tremendous power that God is showing. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's trying to show his power to those that are still lost in here of how he is the ultimate power. He's the ultimate of all things. And how they need to see that power. And we're going to see, not tonight, but we'll see it next week, the grace of God being poured out. We see the power here. But in each one of these judgments that we're going to be looking at, the seals, the trumpets, the bowls of wrath, each one that we see, he'll go up to the sixth judgment. He'll be bringing judgment down through the six, and there's seven of each one of those. But he'll be bringing the judgment down through the six, but then the seventh is withheld. Nothing more vast will happen. He says, I'll shake it. I'll shake it. I'll have mountains moved. I'll have islands moved. The stars will fall from the sky. I'll show them that great power and see if they won't accept me as Savior and Lord. And he gives them the opportunity. And he doesn't break the seventh seal until they have an opportunity to receive him as Lord and Savior here. Will there be some? Yes. Will it be easy? No. Will they have to give their life here? Probably. Verse 15. And the kings of the earth and great men, rich men and commanders and mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide from us the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? We probably could have started out with that particular question tonight for this particular area. He said, who can stand? Probably none. We see here that people recognize, these people that are lost that's here on this earth, they recognize that it's God's power, but still don't accept Him. Some do, but most don't. Some will be martyred. Some will be taken. It's amazing to me. But throughout the reading of this particular scripture tonight and these sealed judgments being released, we see God's power. We see the deceiver coming on the scene, trying to show peace to the chaotic nation. And then we see war come. I can't imagine. Well, I need to get into some text here that I just want to move back here a little bit. You say, well, how do I know that for example, the second horse, and we'll go there, the red horse. Red reflects blood. And blood, in a mighty way, probably brings on war, which probably we can relate to, because he says he opened the second seal and heard the second living creature say, come up, and another horse, fire red, went out. And he was granted to the one that sat upon it to take peace from the earth. That means if there's an absence of peace, there's got to be war. Amen? Okay, so he's taken. It's to take the peace from the earth that the people should kill one another. That's war. So the red horse is bringing in war and bloodshed and people killing one another. There's a piece of that. There's a piece of that, and I'm not saying it's this, and I'm not saying absolutely it's not this now, but you see on your TV screen, if you watch it any at night, you see these things. You know, back in Matthew 24, it talks about Jesus is speaking there, and the disciples ask him, well, how will we know when you're coming back? And he told them about some things. He told them some things that would happen there, and they tie in directly with what he's saying here. There'll be wars and rumors of wars, but I want you to think about what's going on right now. What's going to happen in our world tomorrow? What's going to happen if one of our world leaders, which happens to be our president, makes a decision, or Congress gives him permission to go to war and to bomb or do whatever he does to Syria, and who knows what he's got up his sleeve? It's already been said that there'll be retaliation. Retaliation upon this country, a retaliation on Israel. Obviously, if they hit Israel, we have a commitment to protect Israel and to help Israel. Those are just pieces. Those are pieces that are being pieced together now. We see the Muslims, they're supposed to be a brotherhood, but there's the extremists, and then there's the other segments, and there's so many of them, I can't even number them anymore. I used to think that, well, we had this group, this group, this group, and this group. You can't even number them anymore. The world is being, if I can say this, I don't want to say it, maybe I don't want to use that word, but I guess I'll have to, is there's almost a condition that's coming to play before our eyes that are chaotic. And you say, well, there's always been chaotic. We had chaotic situation in World War II. That was a dictator trying to take over the whole world. I understand. But now we're talking about, right now, for example, in Syria, you tell me who we fight. I don't know. We got a guy that's using poison warfare, but then the other side is Taliban, or it's not Taliban, it's extremists of some type. And I'm not even sure who they are. It's difficult to find out anymore who the enemy really is. We have chaos throughout this world. You take the restraining power of the Christian out of this world, and it could easily turn into something, because if you take the Christian out that's not led of God, so that things happen in a proper perspective in accordance with God's will, and that's true, things will occur, things will lead up to this, and I believe they are. With the world conditions that we have, I think this is just like, our world today is like a powder keg. And if you can't believe that, just watch the news. Extremist groups all over the world. Extremists. They hate Christians. I had an excerpt. I did a little search, and I have something here I want to share with you someplace if I can find it in my notes. This comes from 2008. Now we're five years ago. This is some of the things that goes on. Let's understand that these extremist groups, they hate American principles, which, believe it or not, we're still looked at as a Christian nation. Hindu extremist groups are offering money, food, and alcohol to anyone who murders Christians and destroys their homes. The violence is nothing new in India, where India's Communist Party estimates that more than 500 Christians have been killed by Hindu mobs since late August. Now, of course, that's 5 years ago. The stakes are even higher for pastors. They have a bounty on their head. Hindu militants are targeting Christian leaders. The price to kill a pastor was $250. In India, that's a lot of money. That was 2008. I don't have no facts for today, but I know it's got to be a lot worse. And I get reports all the time through the Southern Baptist Convention of things that are going on in the Christian world, especially in the missionary world. And I guess it's those things are happening. And we hear so much news, it's just almost, we kind of are passe with it now. But how we should not. So if I can go back, the rider of that white horse that came to conquer with peace, given a bow and no arrow, that's like a gun with no bullet, a crown and an assignment for peace, has now done all that he's going to do peaceful, and so now the tactics change. The rider of the white horse changes horses. And the second seal mounts a red horse, given the assignment to bring more. And then thousands upon thousands are slain as the red horse, his color indicating blood, unleashed in an unsuspecting world. You know the thing that bothers me? Our leaders, one of the things that really bothers me is the disarmament of you and I. There's actually a treaty made here some time ago. Did you hear about that one with the United Nations, our country, made with the United Nations? That we would limit our firepower for individuals. It's discerning to me that many rights are being taken away from our country, and these things are coming on. But, you know, the big picture is God is still in control. And these things are going to happen. You know, they're written down. We know that they are going to happen. But you and I have got a story to tell. And I hope we can. As the Lamb snapped that third seal, we see the black horse. And, you know, the black horse brings starvation. Shortage of food somewhere. It always occurs. First you might have peace, then you have war, but after war comes starvation. If you look in history as I have, you'll see that was always the occurrence, and this is loading it up just the same way. Peace, war, starvation. And then comes the martyrs in the fourth seal. Probably won't be enough antibiotics to take care of all the things. And then we got the other thing that's being introduced in that could be a part of this, these judgments. Could be. Don't know. Don't know. But you think about chemical warfare. It has been projected that chemical warfare can do as much damage as an atomic attack in a shorter period of time. I mean, the atomic is one big explosion that occurs, but chemical warfare of bacterial, that infectious things that we know now, there's a commodity of those just flying around everywhere, of different diseases that some of them we can't even handle. I want to go to that pale horse and just talk a little bit more about him, and then we're going to get into some a little bit of discussion, because I've got to stop and give you time to ask questions, and maybe I don't have all the answers, and I don't expect to have them, but at least if there's something that we've said tonight that you don't understand, or if somebody wants to comment on some things. You know, today we have almost 50% of our country, the United States of America, that's dependent upon some type of social system to take care of their needs. Did you know that? About 50% of the country, or more, is now supported through some kind of a social thing. There's so many of those programs, I don't even want to pick out one. But supported by some type of social way. But you know, whenever it comes down to this, we read the scripture. It says, so much grain for a denarius. It's going to turn out to the survival of the fittest, because you either work or you don't eat. And they do that. He quotes it here in the scripture of you got to work a whole day to be able to eat. And there are going to be those kinds of things that will happen. You don't like it? I don't either. Do I want my family to go through any of this? Nope. Do I want anybody in this community to go through this? Nope. There's only one way they avoid it, and that's the acceptance of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Some people might want to say tonight, well, why would God allow these things to happen? He's a God of love. Well, there comes a point in time, just like you do with your children, when they don't adhere to your direction, that you've got to discipline them. But this is even worse. It comes to a point where God has said, you must accept me as Lord and Savior, and you have the opportunity, and if you choose not, you're not going to continue to denigrate me. You're not going to reduce me. I will show you my power, and I will come. And he's been warning people for a long time. And as I said this morning, you know, there's distant thunder. You need to hear the storm clouds. If you can't see them, I've tried to relate a few of them tonight, but if you can't see them or hear them, you need to listen. You need to hear. Some things that I had that I wanted to bring out, I think I've probably touched on most of them, except that sixth seal. And that sixth seal, whenever he talks about shaking everything out of moving the mountains and the islands and so forth, and we talked about that tremendous power. There are those that want to say, well, you know, there comes the atomic bomb blasts, or there comes this or that, that's man-made explosions. I can disagree with that. God doesn't need an atomic weapon. God is all-powerful and quite capable of doing exactly, shaking the whole universe, trying to wake up people that they will hear him and see his power. And the amazing thing to me when I read these scriptures is they did. And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? They recognize it. Something I don't understand. How can anyone know the great power of our Almighty God and know the prescription that he gave for salvation, glorification? And they see it as he shakes, and they run and want to hide from him. Every time today I go and knock on a door and people don't answer the door, and obviously the TV is going and things are running inside and they don't want to hear it. They don't want interrupted. Well, that's running too, isn't it? Running and hiding. And we got a world that's doing that. That's not God's design. God's design is he created it that we all could be saved. And he called us all to salvation. But we have so many that's running from it. And if I could just close tonight with this, that God's grace is still open-armed. It's open-armed for you and me to go and to take the message that you have to a lost and dying world. The question is, are we going to? Well, you can say, well, we're doing it through daycare, we're doing it through this, we're doing it through this. What about the one-on-one conversation where you build a relationship with someone that they come to trust you with what you have to say to them? In my honest opinion, I doubt that there's very many that were saved in here, if any, without someone coming to you and building a relationship with you and telling you about the Lord Jesus Christ and what you needed to do to be saved. And that's what's missing today. We can set, we can text, we can set and we can email. We can do everything to avoid communication. There's nothing better than whenever I can walk up to Robin Walters and I can look into her eyes and I can talk to her and I can understand from her facial expressions whether she's accepting or rejecting me. I use you as an example. You see, that one-on-one communication is very necessary. It doesn't work any other way. And every opportunity we have, we need to take. And I can't say that more from my heart than that. We got to create relationships. We got to talk with people, encourage them, bring them to church, be willing to pick them up, do whatever we need to get people saved to avoid what's coming. The storm clouds are gathering. And I stop and ask if you have questions. If not, we'll pray and we'll go home.